I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of the rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And thank you, Savior, for providing for us salvation, deliverance, and setting us free from bondage. Nothing else in this world compares to what you can give us, what you've already sacrificed for us. And thank you, Satan. Well, dear ones, please join with me for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love and watchful care. Thank you for being in control of all things. Thank you also for letting the true spirit that rules in hearts be revealed. And thank you for the precious promise in Testimonies Volume 1, page 99 and 100. That there will not be a single honest-hearted soul that will be deceived by those who you are not leading or guiding, but they may be able to see exactly who's working for you and who is not. And what a precious promise that is in these last days, where there's so much deception going on. And Father, we plead for thy spirit to open our understanding and our Savior to deliver us from error and deception. But thank you so much for doing so. Father, we meet here in the name of Jesus and we pray that thy presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be abiding guests with each listening heart. And dear Spirit, please be our teacher, our instructor and guide into heavenly things tonight. Please reprove and correct us of our errors and help us to see that straight, clear, narrow path that leads to eternal life. And thank you so much for doing so. We pray that you will hear and answer the petitions and the requests that have been offered to thy throne, dear Father. And those who have asked us to pray for them as well. Thank you for hearing and answering each petition according to thy will and timing. Thank you for letting thy perfect will take place in answer to these prayers. And we pray for patience, trust, hope, and acceptance in whatever answers and timing you provide in these areas. Thank you so very much for doing so. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for blessing our meeting with your presences. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, amen. Welcome again, dear ones. And our study book that we're in is Prophets and Kings. We're in chapter 31, titled Prophets of the Northern Kingdom. And we left off at the paragraph that starts out pretty close to the bottom of page 375. That begins these prophecies. Happy Sabbath, dear brother and family. And the last thing that we were discussing wasn't last Sabbath, it was the Friday before, was that there was one God to the children of Israel, and that one God was the great I Am. It was Jesus Christ. And he was the only God that could save the children of Israel, because there was salvation in no other name but his. And that led to a discussion from a dear brother who had an opposing view. And that led to last Friday's meeting being taken up with further discussion into researching out the answer to how many deities are in the Godhead, or is it just one? And that led to the issue of how many characters are in the Godhead, or is it just one character? So that led to some homework in those areas. And if you're interested in listening to that discussion, it's already on the website. But that didn't change the fact that there's no other God in whom we can be saved but the Lord God Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So that's where we left off last time. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph, again at the bottom of page 375. These prophecies of a great spiritual awakening in a time of gross darkness are today meeting fulfillment in the advancing lines of mission stations that are reaching out into the benighted regions of earth. These groups of missionaries in heathen lands have been likened by the prophet to ensigns set up for the guidance of those who are looking for the light of truth. Now, Sister White mentions mission stations. Are these only Adventist mission stations, or is she talking about a lot more than just denominational boundaries? Any ideas? A Well, I would think that they would be missionary stations from all kinds of different Christian groups. So it goes beyond just denominational boundaries, but it includes groups of missionaries from all kinds of denominations that are out there leading individuals to look unto Christ so that they may find and have salvation. And that's kind of interesting to think that Sunday keepers have missionary stations out there that are still leading people to Christ. Adventists have Sabbath keeping missionary stations out there that are leading people to Christ. So this particular prophecy here takes in every entity, regardless of denominational preferences, that are pointing people to Christ as the only way for salvation. And all of these are fulfilling prophecy. Now, they may not be united with each other. In fact, the vast majority are divided from each other, having their own particular denominational network in which they work through. But they have the common message of pointing people to Jesus Christ for salvation. And so they are fulfilling prophecy. So then the question comes up, does God only bless or work through those who are walking in all the light, regardless those that are only walking in some light? Any ideas? Yeah, amen. A comment in the room says, sincerity. At times of ignorance God winked at, if people are living up to all the light they have. Amen, amen. So it doesn't really matter how much light you have. What matters is, are you living up to all the light you do have? If you are, then you're honest in heart. You love the truth. You're waiting for more light to come, but you're not refusing to follow the light you already have. So you can have Sunday keepers that are living up to the little bit of light that they have that are leading people to Jesus Christ. And God blesses their efforts to do so. He may not bless their denomination, right? But he blesses their individual efforts to lead individuals to Jesus for salvation. Any other comments or thoughts before we go to the next paragraph? Happy Sabbath, dear Sister Susan. And who would like to read this next paragraph?
In that day, says Isaiah, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign to the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. And he shall set up an ensign to the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11:10-12.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So who's this ensign of the people that God would raise up? Any ideas?
Go ahead, Mom.
I was going to ask, is it the remnant of his people? No.
Is it Jesus? Okay.
Amen. Amen. The remnant follow Jesus, right? They are under that ensign. They all gather together under it. But a root of Jesse will be or stand for an ensign. Okay, so this is referring to Christ being born through that lineage of the Jews, through the root of Jesse. And he will be this ensign that all the Gentiles will seek to. So Christ is this ensign for the nations. And all the outcasts of Israel, all the dispersed of Judah, will gather unto this one ensign. No other ensign, no other standard does God give but Jesus for salvation, right? So this ensign doesn't mean a denomination. It means Jesus. And in the last days, right, the Lord shall set his hand again the second time in these last days to recover the remnant of his people. So we're not to go to the church to find this ensign. We're to go directly to Jesus, who is this ensign. Now, the devil doesn't want us going directly to Jesus, so he puts a middleman in between us and the Savior, and he says, you find Jesus in the church. You have to join the church in order to be part of the body of Christ. But the Bible says we go directly to Jesus in order to become part of his body. We yoke up with him and become part of his body in that union. So this last day message, when God is seeking again to gather the remnant of his people out from the Gentiles, out from wherever they may be, he's leading them directly to Jesus. So you don't find the remnant in a denomination. You find them connected to Jesus out of all people from every kindred, nation, tongue. And this prophecy is being fulfilled as we speak. Any thoughts or comments, dear one? Who would like to read the next paragraph? I'll go ahead and read. The day of deliverance is at hand. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. Among all nations, kindreds, and tongues, he sees men and women who are praying for light and knowledge. Their souls are unsatisfied. Long have they fed on ashes. See Isaiah 44:20. The enemy of all righteousness has turned them aside, and they grope as blind men. But they are honest in heart and desire to learn a better way. Although in the depths of heathenism, with no knowledge of the written law of God nor of his son Jesus, they have revealed in manifold ways the working of a divine power on mind and character. So we see that regardless of where people are in their experience, God sees them. He understands what they've been through. He sees that the devil has led them as blind men, right? But the key is they are honest in heart. And so God can work with them. And he is working with them, even though they don't know him. The Holy Spirit is working on their mind and character, leading them, preparing them, softening them to receive the truth at the proper time. Now, would God work on them if they didn't have an honest heart? God might reveal truth to them, but if they're dishonest in heart, he can't work upon their heart to accept the truth, which is quite interesting. So there is a difference between someone who's honest in heart versus someone who's dishonest in heart. And if they're honest in heart, like Paul was or Saul at the time, God can work with them, even if Jesus himself has to come down in a vision to visit them. But if Paul was dishonest in heart, Christ couldn't have done that. You don't see any of the Pharisees or the Sadducees receiving a vision in the scriptures. Although Paul was a Pharisee, he was honest in heart. And that allowed God to work a miracle in his behalf. Any thoughts, comments, questions, dear one? And who'd like to read the next paragraph?
At times, those who have no knowledge of God aside from that which they have received under the operations of divine grace have been kind to his servants, protecting them at the risk of their own lives. The Holy Spirit is implanting the grace of Christ in the heart of many, a noble seeker after truth, quickening the sympathies contrary to his nature, contrary to his former education. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, John 1:9, is shining in his soul. And this light, if heeded, will guide his feet into the world, into the kingdom of God. The prophet Micah said, when I sit in the darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Micah 7:8-9.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Any comments, thoughts, questions, insights on this paragraph, Julian? Well, notice it says that the Holy Spirit is implanting the grace of Christ in the heart of many a noble seeker after truth. So there has to be a desire to want to know. You have to knock on that door for it to be opened, right? And if you're hungering and thirsting to want to know, then, and you have an honest heart, God will send the Holy Spirit to quicken your sympathies contrary to your nature, contrary to your former education. And the light, or Jesus, will shine into your soul. And if you heed it, then you will be guided into the kingdom of God. So you need an honest heart, and you need to want to know the truth. And with that combination, God works upon your heart, even if you're in darkness. Even if you don't know much at all, if anything, regarding the plan of salvation, God will still work upon your heart to lead and guide you to find that truth in Jesus. Praise God, dear ones. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Heaven's plan of salvation is broad enough to embrace the whole world. God longs to breathe into prostrate humanity the breath of life, and he will not permit any soul to be disappointed who is sincere in his longing for something higher and nobler than anything the world can offer. Constantly, he is sending his angels to those who, while surrounded by circumstances the most discouraging, pray in faith for some power higher than themselves to take possession of them and bring deliverance and peace. In various ways, God will reveal himself to them and will place them in touch with providences that will establish their confidence in the one who has given himself as ransom for all, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Psalm 78:7.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Any thoughts or comments on this paragraph?
Yeah, going back to the previous verse, I'm sorry. talking about the Holy Spirit coming into a person's thinking and life, even little children can receive the Holy Spirit. I remember my mom telling me that when I was about 2 or 3 years old, that I could sing Jesus Loves Me. And I didn't know really who Jesus was, except as I grew older, I knew he was someone in heaven that loved me. And as I grew still older and more wise, the Holy Spirit could work better in my life as I grew in understanding. And praise God for the Holy Spirit. He does even reach little children who are usually honest in heart.
Amen. Amen. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one?
I think I shut it up.
Heaven's plan of salvation is broad enough to embrace the whole world. Praise the Lord. God longs to breathe into prostrate humanity the breath of life. And he will not permit any soul to be disappointed who is sincere in his longing for something higher and nobler than anything the world can offer. Constantly he is sending his angels to those who, while surrounded by circumstances the most discouraging, pray in faith for some power higher than themselves to take possession of them and bring deliverance and peace. In various ways, God will reveal himself to them and will place them in touch with providences that will establish their confidence in the one who has given himself a ransom for all, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Psalm 78:7.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. It never hurts to read this paragraph twice. So we see that the plan of salvation is broad. It's not narrow. The Jews tried to narrow it down to just them. And thus, everyone who was not an Israelite was doomed to destruction. But the plan of salvation embraces the whole world. So you don't have to be a Methodist in order to have salvation. You don't have to be an Adventist in order to have salvation. What you do need to have is Jesus. That's the whole plan of salvation, to bring you away from the devil directly to Jesus. And remaining connected and yoked with Jesus, you will have salvation. Now, the church's responsibility is to keep people connected to Jesus. It's never to take the place of Jesus. But the devil leads individual denominations to take the place of Jesus. And thus, people believe that they have to belong to some church in order to find God and be saved. But that's not heaven's plan of salvation. There's no other name given among mankind whereby we must be saved but the Lord God Jesus Christ of Nazareth. No church listed there. Nothing between the soul and Jesus is listed there. Jesus is our only hope of salvation. But notice it also says that God will not permit any soul to be disappointed who really longs for something higher and nobler than they find in the world. It doesn't matter whether they know of God or not. God will not permit any soul to be disappointed if they're searching for something higher and nobler than the world. God sends his angels to those who may be in the most discouraging circumstances, but they're praying for some power higher than themselves to bring them deliverance and peace. So these individuals may not know of the God of heaven or of Jesus, his son. They may not know anything regarding this great plan of salvation, but they may believe that there's some higher power than themselves. And so they're praying for this higher power to come to them and help them. God can still work with them, even though they're not directly praying to him because they do not yet know he exists. So when you hear of individuals who believe in a higher power, but they don't believe in Jesus, right? If they're honest, if they're really searching for deliverance and peace, God can still work with them. So in various ways, God will reveal himself to these individuals. He will get them in touch with providences. Right? Could be tracks left in the bathroom or tracks given out in the street corners, you know, or in the mail or a website. God will make sure that they come into contact with the truth so that they may become established in confidence in Jesus. And thus come to keep his commandments. So this is encouraging, dear ones. God works with people where they are. He doesn't wait for them to come up a little higher before he says, you've reached a point that I can now connect with you. He reaches them where they are. If they sincerely desire for something more than what they currently have. So they may be a drunkard. They may be a chain smoker. They may be in drugs. And they may all of a sudden say, wow, you know, this is really no life. I don't want to continue in this existence. I want something higher and nobler than all of this. God can work with them. In fact, who do you think was already working on their heart to get them to recognize that their existence is really nothing at all? It was the Spirit, right? When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. God will find a way to work in their heart if they honestly desire something better. And praise God, dear ones. Any comments or thoughts before we move to the next paragraph? And who would like to read this paragraph?
Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Isaiah 49:24-25. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Isaiah 42:17.
Amen. So God asks the questions here. Shall the prey be taken away from someone who's mightier, or the lawful captive, right? The lawful captive, didn't say unlawful, the lawful captive delivered. And then God says, the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the lawful captive of the terrible shall be delivered. Praise God, dear ones. Who's the mighty? And who's the lawful, the lawful individual holding people captive? Any ideas? Well, that would be the devil, wouldn't it? The devil's mightier than we are. And because we chose to sin, we are lawfully his captive. But Christ died to set us free. So through Christ, the captives of the mighty and the prey of the terrible, the devil, shall be delivered. But those who continue to trust in graven images, worshiping their own gods, false gods, will be greatly ashamed. So those who honestly want to be delivered, God will make sure they're delivered. But those who could care less, they're going to remain captives. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? And who'd like to read the last paragraph of this chapter?
Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Psalms 146, verse 5. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Zechariah 9:12. Unto all the honest in heart in heathen lands, the upright in the sight of heaven, there ariseth light in the darkness. Psalms 112:4. God hath spoken, I will bring the blind by way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Isaiah 42:16.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So if we turn to the God of Jacob, if we put our hope in the Lord God, then he will set us free. even though we've been held captive by the devil, we have the hope if we turn to the stronghold. Who's the stronghold? Jesus, right? So if we turn to Jesus, then even though we're prisoners, we have hope of being set free. And praise God for Jesus. Any last thoughts or comments on this last paragraph, dear ones? Please go right ahead. So just like we learned earlier, Isaiah 45:22, Christ is saying, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Isaiah 45:22. So Jesus is the only God who can save you. All the other so-called gods are false. The only God of this earth that can save you is the God of Jacob. The great I am, your stronghold, your rock that will deliver you from the prison house and set you free. And thank you, Jesus. Well, this is the end of this chapter. And next time we'll pick it up in chapter 32 of Prophets and Kings, and we'll see what spiritual insights we can discover in that chapter. So dear ones, are there any thoughts or comments, any testimonies, requests for prayer, any songs that you'd like to sing or requests to be sung? Please go right ahead. Amen. This is a great song. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
I'm going to give this a try.
Every trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who all our sorrows share?
Can you move the page up, please?
Oh, Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
And I hope the angels were singing with me, so thank you, God.
You have a nice voice, Mom.
Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright and clouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. Thank you, Savior, for making that possible. Excellent choice, dear sister. And there was another one that came to mind. Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful sound that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the mountains, cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing, you islands of the sea, echo back, you ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
I know we have other singers here. Let's hear your voices. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout it brightly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Okay, I'm going to try this. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God that Jesus saves and gives us a voice to sing it in the voice that God has blessed us with, to praise his name and give a shout of glory to him. Beautiful. Well, dear ones, are there any other songs or requests, any testimonies you'd like to give or insights you'd like to share before we have closing prayer? Please go right ahead. And who would like to offer closing prayer for us? Please feel free.
Okay.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the Sabbath to soon be here. And thank you, dear Lord, for the preparation day. Be with each one of us, and thank you that we can learn more about you and the Holy Spirit can work on our hearts. Be with us as we go to rest. And wake us up refreshed in the morning. Be with our brothers and sisters, our extended family. Keep them safe. Put joy in their hearts. And thank you, dear Lord, for your many promises that you've given us all throughout the Bible. Promises that we cling to because we know that you keep your word. Be with us now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Well, again, dear ones, this coming Wednesday, April 2, we will be having a Wednesday night meeting resuming for all the Wednesdays past that point. So please come prepared for the meeting. God has impressed upon the dear brother and sister to lead out in that. So please come and give them support. Give them prayers. And encourage them in this endeavor. We haven't had a Wednesday evening meeting for quite a while. And I'm getting older and I just can't keep up with all of the demand. So we haven't had a Wednesday night meeting for a while. And God impressed upon a dear brother and sister to lead out in that meeting each week. So again, it begins April the 2nd at 6 p.m. Pacific, which would be 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. So please see if you can attend. Okay. I'm sure you'll be blessed.
Who's going to lead out?
Brother Michael Markwell and Sister Jenny Markwell.
Oh, okay.
God impressed upon both of them to take over the service for our church. We praise God for that. Yeah. So again, yeah. maybe in mind, I'm still young. But in body, I am feeling it. Anyway, so thank you for your kind words, though. And praise God for moving upon hearts. So again, that's April 2nd, the Wednesday there. And then from each Wednesday past that, they'll be leading you. Any final thoughts before we have our dear brother sing us away? Please go right ahead.
She's also like-minded and then to hang out all together.
What topic on Wednesday? Well, come and see. I know you won't be disappointed. Well, dear ones, thank you for opening the Sabbath with us here on the Pacific Coast and those that were already into the Sabbath. We appreciate your fellowship. And your participation. It's at 6 p.m. Pacific time, so that would be 9 p.m. Eastern. So the same time that we gather here for the Sabbath. So, dear ones, continue growing in grace. Have a wonderful night's rest for those that are on this side of the world, and a wonderful Sabbath day for those on the other side of the world. And we look forward to being back in fellowship with you soon. Until then, dear ones, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.